Glomerular filtration rate, GFR. Glomerular filtration rate, GFR, indicates the volume of filtrate produced in the kidney per minute, i.e. the volume of fluid that ends up in the nephrons per minute. Normally, this volume is 120 to 125 milliliters per minute. Maintaining adequate GFR is essential for the kidneys to be able to do its job. If the GFR decreases, the body will not be able to excrete excess fluids, salts and waste products, nor could it adjust the pH when required. On the other hand, if the GFR is abnormally high, there is the risk of excessive loss of salts and water. For these reasons, GFR is carefully regulated by two renal mechanisms, figure 13, internal mechanisms and external mechanisms. Before we continue with the explanation of the regulatory mechanisms of GFR, it is important to emphasise the following point. Since the hydrostatic pressure in the glomerulus is one of three factors, see above, that affect glomerular filtration, two of which stay relatively constant, the body's blood pressure is the major factor regulating GFR. In other words, the regulation of GFR and blood pressure are in many ways two sides of the same coin. This also means that any factor affecting the blood pressure, i.e. the autonomic nervous system, will also affect GFR. The internal mechanism of the regulation of GFR is called renal autoregulation. When GFR decreases, for example due to low systemic blood pressure, two inner mechanisms take effect. The myogenic mechanism, the stretch of the arterial smooth muscle cells due to high tension or blood pressure, means that the arterioles will subcontract to oppose increasing blood flow, which is potentially harmful to the kidney. In a situation of low blood pressure, the lack of tension in the smooth muscle cells in the afferent arterioles induced afferent arterioles to dilate. This increases the blood flow into the glomerulus and the hydrostatic blood pressure will rise as long as the efferent arterioles do not dilate. The tubulo-glomerular feedback mechanism. This is controlled by the macula densa. At low blood pressure, only relatively small amounts of filtrate pass into the nephrons due to low GFR. This means, as explained below, that there will be little sodium in the ascending part of the loop of Henle. This inhibits ATP release from the macula densa, which triggers vasodilation in the afferent arteriole of the glomerulus. Accordingly, the hydrostatic pressure increases slightly, and thus the GFR rises. The external mechanisms that regulate GFR are initiated by the nervous and endocrine systems. These mechanisms are the same mechanisms regulating systemic blood pressure. See the e-compendium on anatomy and physiology of the heart. By decreasing blood pressure, GFR decreases. The fellow mechanisms will therefore take effect. Baroreceptors in the body will respond to decreased systemic blood pressure and trigger the sympathetic nervous system that will 1. Increase the cardiac output by regulating the stroke volume and heart rate, and 2. Activate vasoconstriction of the arterioles of the body. These mechanisms together will increase the blood pressure. Sympathetic nerves will also directly stimulate the juxtaglomerular cells, with the consequence that they release renin. Renin increases the level of angiotensin II, the renin-angiotensin mechanism, which itself provides vasoconstriction and stimulates adrenal secretion of aldosterone. Aldosterone acts on the distal tubule cells and increases the absorption of sodium and thus water. Therefore, blood volume increases and blood pressure increases. Decreasing systemic blood pressure in the afferent arterioles also triggers the juxtaglomerular cells to release renin directly. Renin increases the levels of angiotensin II with the same consequences as already described above, renin-angiotensin mechanism. Tubular reabsorption. When glomerular filtration forms the filtrate, it is forced through the nephrons. On its way through the nephrons, 99% of the filtrate is reabsorbed to the surrounding capillaries. This reabsorption takes place in all nephron units, both in the proximal tubule, loop of Henle, and distal tubules, figure 14, but with different mechanisms. In the proximal tubules, which is the first branch of the nephrons after the glomerulus, approximately 65% of all sodium is immediately reabsorbed, figure 14. This takes place by active transport, and the cells in this region contains large numbers of mitochondria, because of large ATP requirements for this reabsorption process to take place. When sodium ions are reabsorbed, chlorine ions follow due to electrostatic attraction. This large ion reuptake means, as usual, that the water follows. In other words, approximately 65% of water in the filtrate is reabsorbed immediately in the proximal tubule area. In addition to water and salts, there are also sugars and amino acids in the filtrate. These are usually 100% reabsorbed in the proximal tubules. The same applies for bicarbonate. Uric acid and urea wastes are also reabsorbed here, but these are secreted back into the tubules further down the nephron. When the filtrate leaves the proximal tubule, it is led into the loop of Henle, the descending segment located in the renal medulla. The renal medulla contains salt and is organised so that the deeper into the medulla, the more salt there is. Figure 14. This means that the osmotic pressure also increases the deeper into the medulla. The higher osmotic pressure draws water out of the tubule and into the renal medulla. As the renal medulla contains abundant salt, and this part of the loop of Henle is impermeable to salt, salt will not exit the descending part of the loop of Henle. As the salt concentration in the medulla is increasing downwards, water will be poured out all the way down the loop of Henle. The water which is withdrawn is reabsorbed into the blood supply through the vasa recta. The consequence of this water reabsorption is that the concentration of the filtrate in the bottom of the loop of Henle is very high, i.e. equal to that of the surrounding medulla. In the ascending loop of Henle, the conditions are somewhat reversed. Figure 14. The wall of nephrons here are impermeable to water. At the same time, this part of the nephrons are permeable to salt, and both sodium and chloride are reabsorbed from the nephrons into the medulla by both passive and active transport. The consequence is that the concentration of the filtrate in the nephrons becomes lower, as only salt is reabsorbed. Thus, the overall effect of the loop of Henle is that we have reabsorption of both water in the descending loop and salts in the ascending loop, such that the filtrate arriving in the distal tubule is more dilute than when first filtered in the glomerulus, and contains only 10% of the filtered sodium and chlorine and about 25% of water. 75% of the water reabsorbed at this stage, and the residual filtrate is more dilute than what arrived in the nephrons. In the distal tubules and collecting ducts, reabsorption is regulated by hormones according to the body's needs. The action of these hormones will be described next.